Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Hello there, welcome along. Wednesday evening show. We've got a fairly nice lineup, I have to say, this evening. Jim Gavin and Miola Muirchertaigh together on the show this evening, all part of a charity effort that they're very much behind. We'll tell you more about that in a few moments' time. Wednesday night rugby, we have Jeremy Davidson with us. He's the coach at Brive, head coach at Brive. He's doing very well there. He's worked away in the French second division for a number of years and then got his break as head coach at Brive. He's got them promoted. He signed a contract extension, was a brilliant player, as I'm sure lots of you remember, two Lions tours. Injury ended his career early at the age of 28 or so. So we're going to check in with him alongside Keith Wood. And then on the football show, Stephen Kenny doing some media today, pretty much the first media he's done in a while, or certainly since he got the job. Nathan was out chatting to him at Abbottstown. We'll hear what Kenny has to say after 9. 53106, the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormick, as ever, hello to you.
How are you, Joe? You well?
Very well. And Nathan Murphy, who will be chatting Stephen Kenny later on, but Nathan Murphy, who was out at Abbottstown this morning. Hello to you.
Evening, Joe.
So a few bits going on. Just to give a push again, because Jim Gavin and Miola Muirchertaigh have given us a bunch of their time. Basically, next Wednesday, we're broadcasting a GAA inter-county quiz. Jim Gavin and Miola Muirchertaigh will be hosting the quiz. As part of it, you can win a prize for your club, whereby Jim Gavin will come out and provide a training session. Go to the GoFundMe/Jim-Gavin page. This is all in aid of the Dublin Neurological Institute at the Mater, whose funding and fundraising, like everybody, has struggled this year given the COVID pandemic. So it's a very worthy cause, one we're very happy to get involved with. We'll chat to Jim Gavin and Miola Muirchertaigh after 8 o'clock. Jeremy Davidson coming up this hour. Stephen Kenny, Nathan, he was in decent form.
Yeah, he was in good form. As you say, first time he's had a regular media gig since he was officially confirmed. When he was announced, it was mid-lockdown. So he did a few phone interviews here and there. But this was a run-of-the-mill day in Abbottstown. I'll tell you, it was good to get out of the house. It was nice driving down the M50 with a bit of actual work to do and to go and talk to somebody. And he spent a couple of hours chatting away. There was no real reason for it. There was no major announcement to be made. There was no squad announcement, anything like that, because we are still probably 6-7 weeks away from that first game against Bulgaria. So it was more just a general check-in. And the main talking point is behind the scenes at the FAI. And part of that is around Stephen Kenny, which he'll touch upon, because he's been touted for a role in this new 9-person executive, which will be a major change in the way the FAI is run, to have the senior international manager in an executive role. I'm sure we'll hear Richie in the news round as well. He says that's not going to be the case, that he isn't going to be a director of international football, but he will have a say at executive level, which I think most people would welcome, because the worry, and we're probably never happy, the worry when you see that Stephen Kenny is going to be on the executive is that how much time, considering the crisis the FAI is in, is he going to end up spending away from the day-to-day football? Because ultimately he's going to end up being judged on results, and there are so many other stories in the FAI. It was funny, looked around the papers this morning to see was there anything breaking. Dan McDonald has a story at the back of the Irish Independent that Niall Quinn isn't going to go for the League of Ireland role in this new shake-up. There's a story on the back of the Sun saying that Sport Ireland haven't, and the ministers haven't spoken to the FAI in the last 6 months, and they haven't received any government funding so far. And then on the back of the Star, there's the story of last night's board meeting, where it seems UEFA might be getting involved at certain aspects of the FAI. So that's three different stories all off the field regarding the FAI in three different newspapers this morning. And you really wouldn't want, I don't think, Stephen Kenny to be involved in the nitty-gritty of that. And by the sounds of it, he's not really going to be. And actually, he's going to have that role in Irish football, for looking down at 21s, 18s, 16s, 15s, that everybody will try and play a similar style of football, and there'll be some sort of a coordinated plan.
Okay. Well, we'll bring you that interview after nine and we can chat in a bit more detail about what he has to say. Great to hear Jeremy Davidson's on, lads. One of the most underrated Irish players of the last 30 years, says Tony. Yeah, I think that's probably true, and I think I'm guilty of doing the underrating as much as anybody. Two Lions tours, he was voted Players Player of the Tour in 97. He was a phenomenon then, and it was a very bad knee injury in a game for London Irish. And he kept going for another 3-4 years, even making a Lions tour in 01, but he was never quite himself. But yes, and he's doing an incredible CV now. He's doing a very good job in France. He spent 6 years at Aurillac in the French second division, really low budget, pretty much the lowest budget of the 16 teams in Pro D2, and kept them up, did very well. And Brive have given him his chance, and he got Brive promoted to the top 14, and he's kept them in the top 14, contract until 2023. So one of the Irish coaches doing very well abroad. He's on the way very shortly with Keith Wood. Let's kick off the news round then. News round is sponsored by Gillette. We don't play the game, we change it. Gillette made of what matters. And Richie, you're starting the news round with Ryder Cup news.
Yeah, the Ryder Cup being postponed for a year. Patrick Harrington was due to captain Europe in their defence of the trophy against the United States at Whistling Straits this September. The postponement follows advice from medical experts and the public authorities in Wisconsin. The competition will instead be held in September of 2021. Paul McGinley was Europe's winning captain in 2014, and he says postponing is the right thing to do.
It would have been different, yeah, but like, you know, we're about to see Liverpool hoist the Premiership trophy in front of an empty cup, and I'm sure the players aren't really, as much as it's great to win the Premiership, not really looking forward to sharing it with the fans. And, you know, this is unique times, as we all know, and sports in a very different place, and sometimes, as used part of Harrington's terms, you got to take one for the team and get on with it. I think we're in a fortunate situation, the Ryder Cup, that we can postpone it. It wasn't an easy decision to come to. There's a lot of moving parts involved in this decision. It's taken a long time to get where we are now, but I think it's expected by most people that this was the probable outcome. And I think most people are going to be behind that decision.
Yeah, on balance, Nathan, probably the right decision. It all presupposes we can have fans next year, and let's really, really hope that's the case. I think we're of the same opinion here. Would emphasise that thus far on the PGA Tour, fans have not been missed at all.
No, and there was an expectation they would return over the next couple of weeks at Memorial, and they've gone against that. And that shows, I think, why this Ryder Cup isn't happening. Fans or no fans, it's so widespread, the virus right now in America, and moving through the country so quickly. There had to be a real fear that by the time they got to Whistling Straits, that there would be a risk of the players, again, testing positive on the week of the tournament. And supporters or no supporters, you're going to end up with a few thousand people there working. That for that to happen on the week of a Ryder Cup would be just a risk that they couldn't take. Because I think even Paul McGinley, from listening to him there, compared to when we spoke to him, I think on Golf Weekly about a month ago, where he felt they really need to leave this as late as possible, that just because there's not spectators, as he mentioned, Liverpool, shouldn't be a reason not to have it. That go ahead if you can, if it's safe. But I think because it's just exploded in America over the past month or so, they really had no choice. It's just too much of a risk.
Mm. Yeah, you make a good point as well, actually. I mean, it's not like a regular tournament where if two players test positive, tournament survives. You can't really have a Ryder Cup if suddenly two marquee players go down. So that's been coming a long time. Patrick Harrington gets another year of talking about the Ryder Cup. He will enjoy that, I'm sure. Oh, my God. Richie, there's Premier League tonight.
Yeah, there is. There were 3 6 o'clock starts in the Premier League. Manchester City currently leading by 2-0 at home to Newcastle. Those goals both in the first half from Gabriel Jesus and Riyad Mahrez. Scoreless at Bramall Lane, where Sheffield United are up against Wolves. And Jay Rodriguez gave Burnley a 1-0 lead away to West Ham in the first half. And so it stays at 8:15. Brighton play host to champions Liverpool. Ahead of that game, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp confirmed that Adam Lallana has played his final game for the club. He's out of contract in the summer. West Brom, meanwhile, have gone top of the Championship this evening. Republic of Ireland under-21 defender Dara O'Shea scored in a 2-0 win over Derby. Derby finished that game with 10 men. Earlier, Middlesbrough moved 2 points clear of the relegation zone with a 2-0 win away to Millwall. As Nathan alluded to there, Stephen Kenny says a unified approach from the senior team down can only benefit Irish football. The Republic of Ireland manager has spoken today of the need to constantly develop players in this country. And Kenny told Nathan earlier today he's in regular contact with Ireland's underage managers about player progress.
We haven't had players like, believe it or not, Nathan, with Jeff Hendrick and Robbie Brady are 28 now, right? Now, apart from Alan Brown, who came from Cork City, and Shani Maguire played in Gibraltar, right? Apart from those two Cork City lads that have played once and twice in terms of starts, competitive games, the next player from the 28-year-olds is Aaron Connolly at 19.
Yeah.
So we've 9 years of no players actually making the breakthrough. Mm. Nine players out of player coming through. So all of a sudden, we've got all these players now that all the underage managers have been working with, and all of the clubs throughout the country have been working. And we have these players who I feel over the next few years are ready to come through. And we want to change that. Every year we want to have a production line. Not a production line, but we want to have a number of players who are capable of stepping up.
My God, Nathan, well, this man stopped talking sense. It's disconcerting. it's worrying me. I'm not used to this.
Well, it's funny looking at the reaction online because, as I said, there were no great news lines out of this, and it felt like a run-of-the-mill chat with Stephen Kenny. But the positivity that I saw online to, oh my God, this guy, he's just actually answering questions in a normal way. There doesn't seem to be an ulterior motive. He's just talking about the future of Irish football and taking a genuine interest in it. Like, he spoke at one stage of they've a new analysis room in the FAI. Firstly, how have they gone this long without having a proper analysis room, and how excited he was about that. But he made the point, well, they probably didn't need an analysis room for the senior team previously because they weren't based here. No. Where were they based? They were based in various parts of England, whereas at the moment you have Stephen Kenny, Keith Andrews, Damien Duff, all based here. So they're actually spending time. They have an office in Abbottstown at the FAI and are working from there. So yeah, it is. You always, certainly so far, and he hasn't had a match yet, you come away feeling quite good about the future. And it's also in his interest. So I know certain people will think, again, he's the senior manager. What relevance is the under-16, the under-17 team? But say Euro 2026, which I'm sure he still hopes to be in charge for, 6 years away, those 16, 17-year-olds should be making a push for the senior squad by then. So it is very much in his interests to get the ball rolling, yeah, and make sure when they do come near the senior squad, they're ready.
No, it's great. He talks perfect sense. And it was obviously a messy situation with the COVID thing and McCarthy and everything. And that was well handled by the FAI ultimately. Regardless of results, and ultimately that's how it'll be judged, you have to say everything he says is eminently sensible and refreshing. And it's been a while since we've had manager talk that way. So, Rich, where are we going next?
The FAI have set the wheels in motion to make Chidoze Ogbene a Republic of Ireland player. The winger helped Rotherham gain promotion to the Championship this season. Ogbene was born in Nigeria but moved to Cork as a child, and he's played for both Cork City and for Limerick.
Actually, sorry, that sounded like a major dig at Mick McCarthy or something. I don't mean it that way. I mean, he talks about the broader game, in, you know, the Irish game, and even, you know, he's so on top of his brief there, has the ages of players, details, just his aspirations for Irish football overall, Nathan, is what I mean, as opposed to just the immediacy of winning the next game or defending themselves in the media is kind of what I'm getting at. It sounded like I was having a major dig at Mick McCarthy or something, which was not what I meant. I quite liked Mick as well. Did you get my meaning? No.
I've been to hundreds of these press briefings, Joe, over the last 15 years, from Staunton to Trapattoni to O'Neill to McCarthy. And if you talk about underage systems, there's a general, their eyes start to glaze over because it's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with me. I am the senior international manager and I will be judged on results. And Stephen Kenny will have to put up with that as well. But it does seem as though he wants to leave a little bit of a legacy as well, that while he's in this position, he's waited his lifetime for it. He's going to try and make some changes that even if things don't go well at senior level and he's gone in 2 years, 4 years, that there is something in train that continues. Now, maybe it's pie in the sky stuff and none of this actually happens, but at least he's thinking about it and talking about it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And look, if they lose every match 6-0, people will dismiss it as like irrelevant and you know, who cares? But I think it should be welcomed. News from Waterford, Richie.
Yeah, former Republic of Ireland midfielder John Sheridan is the new manager down there at the RSC. He takes over from Alan Reynolds, who left last month for a post at Dundalk. Sheridan was most recently in charge of English National League side Chesterfield. Waterford owner Lee Parris says he hopes Sheridan's appointment will, quote, put to bed a number of silly rumours that have surrounded my family's commitments and ownership of the club. Connacht have added some Antipodean flavour to their squad for next season. They've signed Australian sevens player Ben O'Donnell and the Kiwi number 8 Abraham Papali. Both players will link up with the province before the start of next season.
Eric Dyer then, Jose, has been not talking about it?
Pretty much, yeah. Jose Mourinho refusing to comment on Eric Dier's four-game ban for climbing into the stands to confront a supporter in March. The defender handed the sanction for the incident after their FA Cup defeat to Norwich. He's also been fined £40,000 for his trouble. Mourinho has previously said he did not expect Dier to receive any punishment, but he's now keeping stum.
No reaction. I prefer no reaction.
Do you think the punishment is too harsh?
I'm not going to answer. If I answer, I'm going to be in trouble, and I don't want to be. So I have no comments about that.
How difficult will it be for you to cope without him for four of your remaining five games?
I cope with Alderweireld, with Davinson Sanchez, and Jan Vertonghen.
There we are. Glad I wasn't that interviewer.
It's a bit mad, isn't it? A four-game ban?
Like, yeah, it seems a lot.
I understand when it comes to punishment for something like this that you're trying to lay down a marker so that other players, when they're being, if they're being abused, don't feel they can do a Cantona on it. But anybody who looked at that and sees his brother's been abused in the stand, a four-game ban? Okay, give him a one-game ban.
He didn't tear into the stand and start throwing deeks. He can't, slowly walked over the seats. It's not like they needed to tear in that this is likely to happen again.
But he probably went over the seats as fast as he could, in fairness.
We'll talk again just after nine, Nathan, and play that Stephen Kenny interview in full. Richie, as ever, thanks for this evening.
See you, lads.
Richie McCormack, Nathan Murphy there. By the way, you may have heard our interview last night with Sarah Rowe, who is of Mayo, and Collingwood. You can watch that on the OTB Sports app or listen if you haven't heard it. She was launching 20 by 20's latest chapter, I suppose, in the campaign. No proving, just moving campaign, i.e. get everybody participating is the point of it. And so this week, we've got a special prize. We're linking up with the campaign. We're giving our female listeners the chance to win 3 weeks of training advice and mentoring from Sarah Rowe herself, the logic being 21 days to form a habit. So to be in with a chance of winning, all you have to do is send us a 10-second video telling us why you need the mentoring or why you need the help and why you should win. You can WhatsApp the video to 0879 180 180. That's 0879 180 180. And we'll announce the winner on Friday. So if you're interested, do get involved there. All part of 20 by 20's No Proving, Just Moving campaign, because it's encouraging women to get active and participate. Right, so short ad break. After 8 o'clock, we've got Jim Gavin and Micheál Na Mar-Thartaigh. In the meantime, it's Wednesday Night Rugby. We have Keith Wood and Jeremy Davidson.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette. Made of what matters.